Hello, this is Luke Smith from Can Queer, home of Canada's Queer Media, and I am with one of the LGBT community's biggest shining stars, a longtime advocate. You've won so many awards. You presented to the UN. It's the incredible Joanne Law. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very, very fine. Thank you, Luke. I had the opportunity to go to New York City, and I'm sponsored by somebody else as the only transgender Canadian and speaker delegate at a World Pride conference.
Wow. Phenomenal.
And I'm sitting there, what am I doing? You know, and I must have, like, you know, scratched a few backs to get there. But when I was in New York City, I had a chance to go to, take the tour bus. I was in the conference for the whole week. And if you're going to be a VIP, they got to, you know, you still have to attend other conferences.
Yeah.
So anyways, I took the tour bus and I almost got to Stonewall.
Oh, really?
But they wouldn't let me off the bus.
Oh.
So far away and yet so close, you know?
Absolutely. And, of course, the historical significance of Stonewall is phenomenal.
Well, right now, it's heritage.
It is. It is a heritage
site. It's a heritage site now.
Yeah. But we're going to talk a little bit about history here in terms of...
A long time ago.
A little while ago, you set up a trans crisis line.
Yes.
When did that happen?
But I guess it all started... I was going to a conference down in... Where is it? Pennsylvania, called Paradise in the Poconos. And the organizer named Joanne Roberts. And I was talking to her because she was a leader back in the States and she used to put out a magazine. So I started talking to her about what was going on and how should we promote the trans community up in Ottawa. She says, you got to put your name on something. So I had business cards printed up with my name on it. So people could phone the crisis line and they would get somebody. And yes, I did answer the phone line when it rang. Except after midnight. I'm sleeping back then.
That's bad.
But no, I answered the crisis line for almost 20 years.
Wow, that is phenomenal.
And you know, you listen to people at the other end and they're hurting. They're looking for resources. They don't want to get beat up. And when you're listening to these people, you know within 5 minutes if they're real or not. Or you listen for 5 minutes and you can tell whether they're, you know, ejaculating at the other end of the line because they're talking to a tranny here. I'll use the word tranny, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. In the historical context of what we're talking about, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I'm still training.
Yeah.
But I would answer Christ. I remember this one call I got from Bangladesh. And I'm listening to the phone and I'm hearing like a click as it goes through the different phone centers across the ocean and through Britain and everything else.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And it took about maybe 15 seconds for me to get the person in Bangladesh.
Wow.
This person was looking to get surgery in Montreal.
Wow, that's a long way to go.
Yes, sure. And we talked a bit and I said, look, you got to get your visa card first.
Yeah.
Before you come into Canada. And we talked a little bit, but he wasn't happy what I was going to say.
Oh.
But I would get calls from California. I'd get calls from Mexico. I'd get calls from Britain.
Mm-hmm.
Calls from around the world. Well, there was other support groups out there.
Yeah.
But I, you know, because I was coming out and I was with the police liaison committee and I was dealing with a whole bunch of stuff and I knew what I was, I knew what I wanted to do. And that's when I basically got on my little soapbox and started to preach what I practiced.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I got involved. Mm-hmm. And the only way to learn things is to get involved and talk to people.
I think that's a really important lesson. I think for any folks listening, or certainly of my age demographic and maybe a bit younger, you know, being involved, getting onto the front lines, you know. You know, there's that idea of doing your time in the community, and I think that really, it gives you experiences which are truly invaluable. Out of those 20 years that you were doing the phone line, are there any calls that really jump out at you in terms of...
I think they all stuck out because people were crying for help. For support, for where do I go for surgery? Where do I go for hormones? What do I do this? What do I do for that? And the only place was either in Montreal or in Thailand. Maybe one or two in the States people doing for surgery, but the thing is that it wasn't publicized.
Yeah.
And when you get involved, I use the expression, you get involved with the movers and the shakers.
Yeah.
The people who change policy, the people who make policy work. And you know, like you go into a room and, how you doing, Joanne? And it's just wonderful because they know you. You don't know them, but they know you because you've stood up to the system.
Absolutely. And I mean, we're talking, do you know when the phone line started, what year it started?
Oh, it was in the 80s.
But even then, you know, in the 80s, in Ottawa, we had the murder of Alain Brousseau in 1991. Oh, in 89, I think it was.
Alain Brousseau was 88, 89, yeah. Yes. So on Afghan Provincial Bridge.
Absolutely. You know, gay men, you know, rolled and murdered in the streets of Ottawa in the 80s. And in that context, you know, these people must have been truly terrified, because only now is being trans even remotely accepted.
Well, it's still not accepted. You go down to the, what's that? There's two states on the east side of the United States that will not
North Carolina will not let
transgender people deal with their issue.
Yeah.
You know, deal with the sign on the door that's on your birth certificate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the United States is certainly
struggling. Yeah.
You know, how have you seen, so how has the change in the politics in Canada kind of been reflected in the phone calls you get? Because things were slowly, in the early 2000s, we saw, marriage legalized and so on.
Yeah.
You know, did that change the nature of the phone calls?
No, because I was still getting the same calls, the same help. I need help. Where do I go for help? And I would have a list of places around North America that, you know, so-and-so hospital or so-and-so campus, mm-hmm. community campus or a university campus where there was a pride center. Mm-hmm.
And how did you get that information? Like, how did
just
you...
listening to people and writing my own. Mm-hmm. You know, like if I was from California, it's, you know, the UCLA.
Yeah.
Well, here's the center at the UCLA where you can go for help. Or here's another campus in the middle of Florida and you could get help there. Or even, not maybe help, but maybe just, here's a phone number.
Yeah, point you in the right direction.
You know, instead of calling around forever and ever and ever, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it sounds like you were almost the Google of trans resources.
Before Google.
Before Google, absolutely.
Before Twitter and all the other ones.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that's truly phenomenal, though, because we know right now that, the biggest killer of the trans folks is isolation.
It's, major. It's
suicide.
Well, same in the gay and lesbian community.
Absolutely, but so much more so for trans folks.
Yeah, but the gay and lesbian community did this 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And we're just 20 years behind.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't have doctors. We don't have counselors. We don't have people to help us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all the kids that are getting help now, the ones from 12 to 25.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are getting help. When you get outside the 25 age time zone, where do I go?
It's a good thing. It means the next generation isn't going to suffer too much of the same fate.
Oh, no.
But you're right, it's at the cost of older folks.
Yeah.
You know, what happened, whatever did happen to the phone line?
They had a meeting.
And by they, just for the sake of the
Jenna Mosaic.
So Jenna Mosaic is one of Canada's oldest.
It's one of Canada's oldest. We opened up our door in 1988.
And that's a trans equality group, essentially?
No, we were strictly a cross-dressing social support group.
Cross-dressing social support group. Wow.
That was on the original cards.
That's on the card. Wow.
It was on the card, but that's what it was like back then.
Absolutely,
the word transgender and transsexual were new words that were not, but everybody knew what a cross-dresser was.
Absolutely. I think for the sake of our audience here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to explain what those words mean now. And maybe you can explain what they used to mean back in the day, and just to show kind of like how language has developed, just so that everyone's on the same page.
Remember we were on years ago and you said bring the word transgender?
Yeah.
And I brought four volumes.
Of what it means?
Yeah,
I remember that. So that's kind of how people understand it now. Everyone's familiar with like RuPaul and drag. Well, that's wearing the opposite clothing.
Now it's Caitlyn Jenner.
For entertainment.
Now it's Caitlyn Jenner.
Caitlyn Jenner, that's transgender. Actually, that goes down again. Transgender is, you know, betraying the opposite gender. But what happens when you get there on the other end? Are you no longer trans? Like,
I've always asked people after you have surgery, are you trans?
Mm-hmm.
Are you now female or are you male?
Are you post-trans? Is that a new...
We haven't seen that word yet. It's coming. I'm sure it's coming.
I'm going to coin it.
Okay. But what happens is the young kids, they've got 15 different pronouns for who they are now.
One for every day of the week.
One for every day of the week. And I go to the group sessions and I just want to see what's going on within the community. Just listen. But I just find that the new kids, they don't care.
I think you're absolutely right. There was definitely a time in the early 2000s, the 20-teens, when people were going by so many different types of gender pronouns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But now what we're seeing is, and you can see this in big major studies across the states, is that people are starting to just give up. They're like, you know what? I'm not like super straight and cis and all that jazz.
Yes.
I'm something else. Well, I don't have time in the day to tell you what it is.
Isn't there a professor at York University who stood up and says, I don't like the word transgender?
There was, at University of Toronto. Yeah, and yeah. His point was, and it was controversial.
The pronouns.
Yeah. He said, I'm not going to use the pronoun you prefer because I don't want to give you that false sense of security so that when you leave and you'll actually get mispronounced.
Mispronounced.
Which I think I can see his thinking, but I think, you know, if you're paying him $7,000 a year, he can say, he can call me whatever I want him to call me, you know what I mean?
But the pronouns are changing so fast. Back then, it was maybe four, like I said, when I lecture, cross-dressing, transvestite, transsexual, you know, like maybe four or five that I'll use, because those are the words that everybody knows.
Yeah. Well, of that demographic.
In your audience, everybody knows those words.
Yeah. Right
and
now.
And even on TV, they call it transvestite.
Not so much anymore. Since the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
No, they still do. I mean, you know, saying what transvestite, you know, like, oh my God, you know.
I think we've seen
your
a
eyes
change.
Pick up.
We've seen a change now with the conversations around Bill C-16 and so on.
Maybe I'll get before that goes through.
It might be going through by the end.
It got postponed. It got pushed
again. Oh my! It's at the Senate at the moment.
It's stuck there.
But it's at the Senate for folks listening. It's at the Senate committee hearing stage, and it's the conservative senators like stonewalling it. It'll be interesting.
And the thing is, with the Senate, it's half the Senate is the new people.
Yeah.
And they don't know what the issues are.
They seem positive in terms of it.
Everything seems positive until they have to vote on it.
So I'm going to bring it back to the phone line now.
Yes, it was fun.
The phone line?
Yes. Believe it or not, like I would answer it at 10 o'clock at night, and I knew it wasn't a half-hour conversation. Mm. It was maybe 2 hours, maybe 3 hours in the conversation.
Gosh, wow.
People are crying, and you know, help, what do I do? And you'd give them as much resources as you could.
Yeah.
But after a while, you listen, like I said, you listen to these people, and they're crying for help, and there isn't any, and that's one of the major issues.
Mm-hmm. So I do work with the Ottawa Men's Refuge.
Yes.
And we're looking at male victims linked with partner violence.
Yes.
And it's very much the same kind of situation.
Yes.
If you're being beaten up by a male spouse, if you're male and being beaten up by a male spouse, you can go to the homeless shelter. That's your only option. And it's just there are so few alternatives. So, I mean, I can see a bit of where you're coming from, but for trans folks in the 80s, there must have been nothing at all.
You got beat up. You went to the Royal Ottawa, and they'd throw the key away.
Because it was in the DSM for the General Diagnostics Manual, where it was considered a mental
disease. It's still there.
I think it's there for political reasons.
Because there are trans people who need.
Yeah.
Need the support or need the access.
So for folks listening,
DSM-5 and 4 and 5,
yeah,
the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders.
Absolutely, and the reason why it's very controversial because it says
everybody's got a problem.
It says in one page, all trans people are mentally ill.
I'm mentally ill. Can't you tell? I'm also dysfunctional.
You're a high functioning dysfunctional person, that's for sure. But the idea, it's controversial because it implies that everybody who's trans is mentally ill. And that's an issue. But at the same time, it does open the door for access to surgeries and hormone therapy. So it's a double-edged sword, you know?
Well, right now, Toronto, I think there's lineup at least 6 or 8 months just to go down
wait list
to go down to Toronto to the Clark Institute.
Yeah.
Not the Clark anymore. It used to be the Clark. Now it's the Sherbourne Clinic.
All right, yes. And there is the one in Montreal.
That's the only for surgery.
Oh, really?
That's strictly surgery. That's not for counseling.
I think there's a hormone therapy place here in Ottawa as well.
There could be. But the one in Montreal is strictly surgery. Mm-hmm. Sex reassignment surgery.
The phone line went for about 20 years.
20 years.
Which is... How did you find the strength?
I dedicated myself.
How did you find the strength to keep answering the phone?
I still wanted to stand up and help another transgender person. to deal with who they are and what they mean. I had already gone through the crap.
Yeah.
You know, divorce, losing my job. What else can I, you know, living on welfare for 10 years and soup kitchens for 10 years, which I did. You know, like, where else can I go? So I got, you know, the phone was there, and it was, if I can help someone deal with another access to the system, you know, even if it was just a counselor that you could deal with, you know, or someone you can talk to.
They say now that they reckon therapists need therapists.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how did you... Where did you go to talk about the phone calls that you were getting?
I didn't. It was just self-learning.
My gosh. I mean, in terms of like, because that must have been so much pressure and so much...
I don't know if it was pressure. I don't know if it was pressure, Lucas. Just after I lost everything, I says I got on my soapbox and started to deal with who I was, what I was, and issues that I faced.
How many trans folks do you reckon you've helped? Oh,
thousands. Over the 20 years, thousands. Plus people here locally.
Yeah. I think it's important to kind of let folks know that, you know, we're talking people in truly desperate situations.
Awesome. You know, ready for suicide.
And I'm glad you mentioned it, because I was about to say that, you know, trans folks, massively disproportionate suicide rate.
Yes.
You may well have been like the saving grace for lots of people.
You talk to the people and, you know, the people that I've met, who say, wow, right on, Joanne, just do it. The young one named Charlie.
Yes.
The young, you know, 12.
There's a young early teen advocate in Ottawa by Charlie, and I forget their last name. Yeah.
That's the name Charlie. Yeah. It was a trans girl.
Yes.
She's got help through the CHEO.
Yeah.
But where does Charlie go when she turns 25?
Well, hopefully by the time Charlie gets to 25, things would have improved.
I don't think so. Even with the bill getting passed, how many trans people are going to come out?
Mm-hmm.
The same as the gay community, when after you got your human rights in the marches.
Yeah.
Like, am I going to come out as a gay person?
It's still a conversation that happens now. It's certainly...
it's a major conversation piece of what's going on. Being involved to the way I was. I mean, I was with three or four different organizations. I got there with, you know, with not CHEO, but... Youth Services Bureau 25 years ago. I was there at the table.
Mm-hmm.
All the different shelters, all the names of people who ran the shelters, I sat at the table with them as a transgendered individual. Says, someday you're going to need me.
I
opened the door so that, the word transgender. When I go to the YSB Youth Services Bureau, they won't let me in because I'm an adult.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows me in there. Maybe Brenda Allard knows me in there, but that's about it. But nobody knows.
That's part of the thing. I think what we need to, what we do with the CanQueer, we try and always not only just save, but also empower, you know, the folks that really paved the way, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you look at the Black Rights Movement with Martin Luther King, all of these legendary
names. And it goes back every day.
The old day, I mean,
it never disappears.
A lot of them have died.
Oh, yeah.
But in the queer community, these advocates, not that many of them are dead. Like, a lot of them are still alive, kicking, you know.
The Seniors Pride Network.
I mean, if you look at who is actually there, and you look at our seniors in our community, these are the people who really
built
the community.
Yes.
And we need to take better care of that. Now you're no longer doing the phone line. Who do they call?
Nobody. It's on a computer.
So there's email resources and help.
There's email resources, and somebody answers an email. To me, looking at a screen with a bunch of words doesn't mean a damn thing to me. I want to hear a voice.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear the what is the word I'm trying to think of? The energy.
Yeah.
Or the loss.
Yeah.
Behind the voice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said, after you've done this for, you know, 2 or 3 years, you get to know whether this person's real or not.
Yeah.
They're looking for resources. They're looking for help because you can hear it in their voice. Help, 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 you know?
We'll be doing an interview in just a few moments with the Ottawa Distress Center, looking at how they handle those calls
major.
Now.
Christmas, Thanksgiving, birthdays.
Yeah.
Major.
They are a phenomenal resource. And of course, don't forget that if you're listening to this anywhere in the world, most Western states and most Western cities do have local crisis lines that...
they all do. Even the kids line now out of Toronto, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, it's funding to keep these lines open.
Very important.
It's the volunteers If you don't have volunteers, I'm sorry, your organization is going to go kaput.
So what would you say to inspire people to step up and volunteer on the phone line?
It's hard. Because nobody wants
to
be...
It's not encouraging.
No, there's nobody wants to commit themselves anymore.
Yeah.
Back then, we were starting organizations, we were building communities, we were getting things. Well, like, now it's all done. Why do we need this organization? Why do we need that help? Why do we need this? And it's all being done now. So, again, we're losing history.
And so, how do we convince somebody to step up, skill up, and stick to it?
How far out of the closet do they want to come?
It's, and I think that's it. It takes a lot of bravery.
I use the expression, takes balls to do this. Even like with the new up-and-coming Caitlyn Jenner, mm-hmm. I'll use her as an expression. She's disappeared again. She came out, you know, I'm an athlete. I was in Montreal. I got, you know, the triathlon and everything else. She's now had her surgery because mm-hmm. people were complaining about, you weren't really a real woman. She's gone back into her closet now.
I think she's actually complaining about the Trump administration. No, she's complaining about Republicans.
Well, I can complain about the Trudeau, you know. Where's my human rights?
Unfortunately, we don't have time for that at the moment.
That's another story.
Absolutely. That's Bill C-16. We'll be back just after this. Thank you so much for joining
us. Oh, I love this. We're going to do this again.
Absolutely. Thank you. So for now.
Thank you, Luke.